It is time for Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Werpman. Judy, of course, joins us here on Robin Hood Radio on a Thursday morning. She is also an author. Of course, the Serotonin Power Diet. You can find more information on that, theserotoninpowerdiet.com. Journal of a Duck Midwife, which is a great kind of humorous but also heartwarming story. And also, Before Her Voice Was Still, A Friendship in the Shadow of ALS. The multi-talented Judy Werpman joins us now.
Author. We started as an author. Now you started as a scientist. How much exercise is necessary to lose weight? Let the dieter decide. Gee, you could work for the CDC, or you should.
Well, good morning, both of you. I must say that I try to find the answer on the internet, you know, Dr. Google and all of his or her associates, and you can take your pick. Anything that you want is there with all sorts of either credible or fictional justification, but there is absolutely no uniform answer. I mean, the reason I was interested in this is that obviously it does work, depending on the amount of exercise. I happened to go to our local CVS recently, pick something up, and I saw a pharmacist, who I see, you know, off and on, maybe two or three times a year, and he was very, very thin, almost gaunt. And I, you know, really didn't, I hoped that it was nothing serious, like, you know, some kind of sickness that caused him to lose weight. And I said, gee, you lost a lot of weight. He said, yes. He said, I've been doing marathons. My girlfriend is a runner, and I've been doing marathons as often as I can. I'm going to even do, and he sort of whispered, a 100-mile race, which made me think, I hope I have a pharmacist after the race. He doesn't collapse along the way. And he said, I've lost a great deal of weight. So clearly, if you go from even being normally active to being excessively active, because you're training for, you know, an event that requires a great deal of time and expenditure of calories, you are going to lose weight. But what about the rest of us who have daytime jobs? He did too, of course. We can't spend hours every week exercising on a level that is vigorous. Because when you look at the information on the internet, it will say, yes, you should do 30 minutes a day. You can, if you can't do 30 minutes a day all at once, you break it up in five-minute intervals, or you should do 200 minutes a week, or you should do 10,000 steps, or you should have all sorts of suggestions. And then they say, and you really should try to engage in moderate to vigorous activity. And vigorous activity is not just simply walking at a fast rate to your nearest Dunkin' Donut. Vigorous activity means you're climbing a mountain with a heavy backpack, or running at a very rapid rate, or swimming laps very rapidly. It is, as it says, vigorous. You are puffing and panting at the end of this because it's supposed to really tax your physical limits if possible. But few of us are able to do this at a sustained rate, you know, every single day or several days a week. And for people who are trying to lose weight, you know, it almost goes without saying that usually people who have to lose weight are not in a particularly good physical state, and they might even be described as sedentary. And how do you expect somebody who really considers walking to turn off the TV if the remote isn't working as exercise to really start doing a lot of vigorous exercise or even moderate or mild exercise, you know, on a sustained level, without a great deal of support and maybe even some kind of training? And I think that's what really is just bothersome about these recommendations, because they're sort of thrown out there as if anybody can just do it and has the time, the energy, even the financial ability to do it, because oftentimes people spend so much time at work that they don't have that free time given their household responsibilities as well as their work responsibilities. I mean, it is true. If you move, you are going to burn up calories, and the longer you move and the more vigorous, you may be burning up more. But even the few studies that have been done looking at this, comparing, let's say, moderate exercise to vigorous exercise, really don't find that much difference. So sure, you put on the backpack and run up your nearest hill. If you're living in San Francisco, I suppose that's easy, or perhaps where you are, both. But even if you just do moderate exercise over sustained a long period of time, you will lose weight. But I think that I think the final answer is everybody should simply decide for themselves. But if you find that, as some people do, when you go off on a trip, you know, remember people used to take trips before the pandemic, and you go to a city that you've never been in before, and it's a wonderful city, let's say Paris, and you spend your days walking from one end to another, because that's what you do. And even though you're eating yummy food at night with probably a lot of butter in it, a la Julia Child, you still find yourself losing weight, but maybe not gaining weight. And you say to yourself, gee, I've eaten so well, why am I not heavier now than I was before I started on the trip? Or why have I lost weight? Well, the answer is, suddenly you've gone from being maybe relatively sedentary to doing a lot of walking, and that increase in caloric expenditure really does have an effect on your weight. And perhaps you come home and say, gee, you know, if it worked in Paris, why can't it work in Sharon, Connecticut? And it obviously can, but then you have to continue it. And Marshall, you are a wonderful example because you spent much a good part of your life in exercising, and you found that it really made a difference. Maybe not a dramatic difference, but you really found that you certainly weren't gaining weight, and you found yourself losing weight, albeit perhaps rather slowly. But I think everybody has to decide what works best for him or her. And if walking is fine, then do it. And stop counting the steps, you know, or the amount of time. It's just walking as much as you can without disrupting the rest of your life or doing some other kind of exercise, you know, perhaps even going to a gym if you have one available or going to some kind of yoga class or some other class, even a dance class. Do what is comfortable for you that you can sustain. Because really the bottom line is not how much you do, but the fact that you're doing it all the time, that you're not simply getting yourself involved in some kind of short-lived exercise routine that is not going to make it to the next month. I mean, the thing about this pharmacist said he's been doing it for a long time now. He's not a weekend runner anymore. But I think that has to be the answer, not going to the internet, because you're not going to find the answer there.
Right, and I think I was just curious because, you know, I have a warped mind. Was the common denominator in any of those things, in everything that you looked at, did any of them say, did all of them say you have to keep doing this?
Oh, it goes, of course, Jill. Of course you, it doesn't, the point is these studies never looked at what happened after the participants stopped after perhaps 6 months or a year, because that was the end of the study. Of course, nobody looked at that. And it goes without saying, if you're eating, you should be moving. I mean, nobody has to tell you to continue to eat. Of course you should. And as we've talked in the past, and it's so obvious, you know, if we were living 150 years ago or 100 years ago, I mean, 50 years ago, we would be doing much more moving because you had no choice. You simply had to walk. If you didn't, you know, not every family had enough cars, or not some families had obviously no cars. So if you wanted to get to work, you had to walk or walk to public transportation or walk from public transportation. You didn't have energy saving devices at home, and you didn't hire a dog walker to walk your dog. You walked your own dog, and so yes, it's called lifestyle. But if you don't start something that's comfortable and compatible with your lifestyle, how can you sustain it?
Well, that's exactly right.
We've even heard about, people write about relationships they have when one member of the family decides to become a marathoner and finds that his or her relationship with the significant other is deteriorating because she's not simply around. And then you think, well, okay, do I sustain this kind of exercise and my marriage suddenly implodes, or do I make some kind of compromise? So it has to be something that's compatible with your entire life.
Right, but it also has to be something that you choose. You know, again, this is, we bracketed this show with common sense. Like, all right, you know, if you don't feel well, stay home.
Yes.
That really doesn't seem like you need to go to Congress to pass a law.
No, and you don't have to go to the internet either. It's so confusing. I mean, it'd be really nice if there was somebody who edited the internet first subject and said, okay, here are the consistent studies, here are the inconsistent studies, here's something that comes off the top of somebody's head. You take your pick. But no, you have to do it yourself. And your point is you can't let your own personality get in the way of choosing, oh, I'll take the most strenuous exercise because that's really what's going to work, because you're not going to last very long. I remember once had a house guest, a couple actually, and around 7 o'clock at night or 8 o'clock, the women and I, of course, were cleaning up the kitchen, and the husband was walking up and down and up and down and up and down from our kitchen to the living room, etc. I said to his wife, what is he doing? Oh, she said, well, he has to get his 10,000 steps in, and I don't think he got them in today, so he's walking until he gets his 10,000 steps in. I mean, is that nutty? So, You know, this is what I'm saying. You cannot be compulsive. It has to be something that you feel comfortable with and that fits in with your lifestyle.
Yeah, and it's funny.
And then you will lose weight.
Like magic. Thank you very much. We'll do this again.
Okay, bye-bye.
Dr. Bye-bye. Judy Wortman, Food for Mood.
And you can hear Judy, of course, every Thursday morning right here on Robin Hood Radio, also online, robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Wortman.